Hey, Slip Angle listeners. I just wanted to make everyone aware that this weekend, September 18th, Wangfest Revival is going to be happening at Gingerman Raceway. This is a revival event for one of our buddies, Mikey, who recently had a stroke, kind of a massive medical issue, and it needs our help to help fund his recovery. Now, you may have seen a GoFundMe available on the GoFundMe website for Mikey, but frankly, it's not enough. And so the Wangfest Revival proceeds will go to help support our buddy Mikey, longtime track buddy, kind of one of the Ramblers, been around Gingerman forever, and the community needs to rally around him to help him get back to the track. So if you're interested in doing a basic track day at Gingerman Raceway on the 18th, go to grid.life and you can sign up there. I think track day is full day on track, I think is $200, which certainly is a bargain. If you're interested in getting any extra track time before upcoming events, it's a great place to start. And if you're busy and you can't make it to Wangfest, hit up that GoFundMe and see if you can, anything that you can spare to help our friend Mikey, it will be appreciated by everyone in the community. So thanks so much and enjoy the show.
Hey, Abe, who's this show brought to you by?
It's brought to you by FCP Euro.
Yeah, they're all cool. They're right over there.
All the parts you buy are guaranteed for life.
Yep.
And Apex Pro. Yep. Congratulations to Ryan Finch on his second place finish. Always a bridesmaid at Solo Nationals.
Is that his first or second, third, fourth, fifth time as a bridesmaid?
It's not the first time.
He's been real close, yeah.
But super competitive in G Street and his Civic.
Yep.
As far as I know, it's a car that he still just drives to work every day.
Yeah, it's super basic.
So, like, if you can take your daily and take it to Nationals and finish second, that's not too bad.
There's a lot of dog hair in this microphone, Abe.
You should pick that off.
Who else is brought to you by? Patrons?
It is brought to you by the patrons.
We still have those?
We still have the patrons. We appreciate your support.
It's been a really busy month.
I've got two boxes of T-shirts.
Yep.
That I am mailing out. I've got new supplies.
I love that.
And if you support the show and I get an alert, and I'll mail you a T-shirt. So yeah. Thanks.
Super rad. Sorry, I'm going to turn my microphone down, my radio down.
So it's Wednesday before Midwest Festival. This
Calm
is the
before the storm.
Earliest that I've ever been to the grounds before
you
a festival.
You beat me here.
It was just unbelievable.
I was 12 hours behind you. You slept here last night, right?
I did, yeah. So I got here on Tuesday. Right. I'm parked down in the paddock in my bus.
We're just south of the tower, if you know Gingerman. And it's a beautiful day, man. And the weather looks amazing.
Yeah. You know? I don't want to jinx it. But
I don't even
want
to look at it. It's so
mid-70s from now until like Tuesday.
Yeah.
And it's Wednesday.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So like... it's hard to predict the weather because we're so close to the lake. Right. So, like, it might rain.
But so far, so good.
Today's been pretty great. It's like high 60s.
Yeah, 68, 69.
Dude.
I love it. I'm in your RV. This is the first show we've done in here?
I did shows,
Shows
with the Festiva guys.
I have not been in here.
But. And Dalton and Adam Nielsen and also one with Ferris.
Yep.
Ferris is coming this weekend, but this is
third event you've had this at.
This is my mobile recording studio.
Yeah, third event. It's so much bigger than mine inside with the slide outs out.
It's gigantic.
It's
yeah.
so crazy. But yeah, beautiful day. We're at Gingerman Festival, and it's hard to believe we're actually doing Midwest Festival for real again. It's kind of surreal seeing the stage go up after 2 years. We got the big stage. We got SL320, I think. Basically, it's a semi-truck that, like, folds out like a transformer, and it becomes a very big stage. And it takes people, like, 36 hours to do it, but it's pretty cool.
So I spent all day here working remotely, which was very cool.
Kind of chill.
It's like...
It's like your own big apartment where no dogs and babies are hanging out.
Yeah, kind of. Like, it's actually easier to work here than it is in my apartment because of the dogs and Sloan. And so, like, today was like working from a hotel. It was weird. But
I really like this thing. This is the first time I've seen it in the daylight. The color of the wood is actually pretty nice, too. Kind of a cherry color.
Yep. And Ashley and I talked about painting it, but there's so much.
Just leave it, man.
I think it would be hard to do a really good job.
It'd be really hard. You'd have to like spray all the doors and then paint everything else. And there's just so much of it.
Yeah.
And to me, it doesn't look dated. It's fine. It looks fine to me.
Yeah.
What's that noise?
That's the weather station. I told you it's a weird noise.
Yeah. It's kind of putters.
So there's a funny, like, almost like a weather vane on the roof.
Yeah.
That senses the wind speed and pulls in the armless awning.
Oh, really? Get one of those?
When the wind blows.
Right.
And so, like, I mean, it feels like it's really sensitive, so we don't put it out very often.
Right.
And I haven't put it out yet because I don't know who's going to park next to me. And so
if you put it out and it gets windy, it pulls it back in.
Correct.
It's so crazy.
And it has different risk tolerances before it'll retract. So you've got high, medium, and low.
Okay, so you tell it how risky you're feeling?
Yeah, basically.
That's cool. You'd want to put it on high for any grid life event because you never know when a tornado's coming.
Correct.
But, yeah, that's interesting. I didn't know that was a thing on those things. I've seen them do it, though, because I've been at a track and a storm kicks up and I know nobody's in that RV and the thing comes in.
Yep.
So it makes sense now. I didn't know that was like a wind speed related thing.
So today also there's, I don't know, probably an early 2000s flat screen that's mounted above the driver's seat for passengers to watch.
Like a 24 inch Vizio or something like that?
I don't know how big it is, but I was looking, first I wanted to see if the antenna was connected so that I could maybe tune into some channels today.
Right.
The antenna is not connected. There is one, but it's not connected. So I think I'm going to take that one down, measure it properly. And then I think my preference is to just put a Chromecast, attach it.
It seems like that thing is, it seems like somebody built the attachments to hold it and it replaced a CRT TV.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, because there's a big box there.
Yep.
But somebody did a nice job on it.
Yeah. I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
So...
man, this is so much different than mine. I'm really jealous.
I'm not convinced that the thermostats in the front or the rear work.
Yeah.
Because today the AC was on.
Right.
And it was so cold in here that like I had to shut things off.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I had like the thermostat in the front set to 71.
Yeah. They might not work.
They may not.
How do you turn them on?
Over here above the driver's seat is a two-zone climate control.
That's ridiculous.
What else we got?
We did. So you brought this to Mid-Ohio. It was your first journey with it, right?
Yep.
And you did some shows out of it. We brought it to Heartland. How did that trip go?
Really well.
Yeah. Lichty drove with you.
He drove the entire trip.
Did he really?
He drove all of it.
You just hung out?
I hung out in the passenger
seat. That sounds kind of awesome.
It was awesome. So
I've literally ridden in my RV for like 45 minutes or an hour while you drove one time.
Correct.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 hours. I don't even know. I might've slept a little bit.
So on the way out, I was still working, from the passenger seat and he was, you know, he's better at pulling trailers than I am, especially his trailers. So
yeah, you hooked up his trailer. He brought the GLTC Porsche Cayman out.
Yep.
And the trailer was at a severe angle.
It was, I brought my tow dolly for this weekend. I'm going to buy a Fit from Kevin.
You are buying it.
That's my plan.
So we're both going to be second gen Fit owners.
Correct.
Because I just bought one too.
Because
they're awesome.
Well, I drive, I think, about 45 miles a day. And like, I don't want to burn the Civic down. Right. I actually like it.
Yeah,
and I like driving it, but like commuter miles are just terrible. Yeah. So,
yeah, Chris and I flew out to New Jersey last Tuesday morning. And I had arranged to buy the cheapest second gen Fit I've ever seen. It was $2,500 and it was red at one point. It's really, really pink. It's not rusty, but man, the paint is like falling off this thing. It's not good. But 139,000 miles, AC blows cold. It's got a TPMS light because like the previous owner like didn't put the TPMS back in. So I got to figure out how to pull the TPMS light out. And randomly it throws a check engine light for the EVAP canister purge solenoid in the gas tank. But it runs awesome. Dude, it runs so good.
Nice.
We came with two sets of tires, snows and summers. Came with a full Honda B-spec exhaust, like in the back seat. So I have to put the B-spec exhaust on.
It's got a party pipe on.
Yeah, it's got a little brat pipe on it, dude. And I've been talking to Fortunato about, you know, when their coilovers are ready. They just started making coilovers for both gens, first and second gen fit. They're waiting on camber plates or top hats or whatever. I don't know. So I might buy a set of Fortunes for it because I love how my Fortune 510s ride. Like, they ride nice.
Yeah.
Like, they ride properly nice. Because the digressive pistons, you know, high-speed piston travel, when you hit a bump, it's, like, nicer than OEM, even with more spring rate, right? So I intend to actually drive a little bit of Sunday Cup next year, maybe at Road America if my Civic isn't done, because I'm doing dumb things to the Civic now.
Always. You can't leave the Civic alone.
I haven't talked about it on the show yet, but it's got a new engine in it. It's got a 1.5 D series now. I pulled out the engine after Mid-Ohio because the oil pump broke at Mid-Ohio. Like, I mean, I had that engine in for like literally 50 track days, maybe more. And I put new rings and rod bearings in like two track days ago. I did Honda meet, did the first day at Mid-Ohio. And then the second day, I think I over-revved it once on a downshift. I downshifted too fast. But I had revved it higher than that this is the engine that I used to have turboed. And I did a half-mile roll racing event. And me and my brother, like, during the event, were like, it's not, because we're out of RPM, like, 145 miles an hour. And we're like, let's just bump it to 8,300, and we'll break 150. So we bumped it to 8,300, and I'm like, what? At 8,300, and it was fine. But I don't even think I hit 8 with it. It's got springs and retainers, so it can actually rev, but it's 2.3 liters, so... It's a big, big long stroke motor. And I think the oil pump broke. And it actually broke the housing. And there's oil coming out of the housing of the oil pump.
No bummer.
Which is, I've never seen that on a Honda ever. And the oil pressure was still there. And the oil is clean. So I think the bottom end is salvageable. There's no sparkle in the oil. But I think the oil pump itself broke and just like expanded the housing. And I didn't run it very long. I pulled in immediately. And it's got lower than proper oil pressure, like it dropped 20 PSI. So I was like, I can't dig into an engine anymore. I've like put this engine in so many times this year since January. And I'm like, I know that the D15 that used to be supercharged in the car last year, it was so good. It was so perfect. And I sold the supercharger and I was like, all right, I'm going to try out the ITBs on the big F motor. And so we went to Coda, had problems, went to every other event, had problems. Honda meet was pretty good. It wasn't perfect, but it was pretty good. And it was, I'm just exhausted by the F-Swap project. So I took it all out, I put it under the shelf, and I'm like, all right, we'll deal with you later. And I took that D15, and I put it back in, and I've been like piecing together just a cheap, basic turbo kit for it. So I'm planning on doing like an 8 PSI turbo kit. It'll probably make like
not very many cars in GLTC or turbocharged, except a body in white Civic Si.
Yeah, the new Si's. There's been a couple of Miatas that have done it.
Really?
And they've done rear mount setups. I think one or two of them. Jeff Preston's doing one, or he did one. He's supposed to be here this weekend, but he's not. What's his face? He totaled it at Road America, but he fixed it. The blue one.
Cody?
Cody Miles? No.
Mason.
Cody Mason, yeah. He drove at Road Atlanta. Also, he had a rear mount turbo with no intercooler. He just ran like a long charge pipe.
super cool low it back boost, off.
Super low boost, you know, so you don't really put a big turbo on. It just makes power from like 5 to 7, and you're good. And there have been a couple others, but not very many. So I'm trying the low boost, small turbo setup. And, I mean, the most reliable engine setup that this car ever had was a basic turbo D. There was one day, me and my buddy Dave, we came here for the very first three balls track day ever in 2005. And I did 212 miles on track that day.
Dude.
It was nuts. And it was just a turbo D, like 10 PSI, I mean like 185. And it's just over, lap. Like no problems at all.
Super simple.
So I'm just going to go back to what I know a little bit. And it should be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you were talking about doing dumb stuff It's not been mentioned on the podcast yet. You did another dumb thing.
What's that? Oh, it's not here yet. It's coming today.
Is that right?
Yeah. The sports racer, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't told my wife about that one yet. So years ago, I traded a bunch of labor to the owner of Gingerman. I changed a bunch of thermal panes that were fogged up, like on the tower.
You say this like this was like 15 years ago. When you say years ago, you mean like
4 years ago.
Three or four.
Three or four years ago is like 1,000 years ago in my life right now.
In grid life, yeah.
So I changed a bunch of thermal panes on the tower. Like half the glasses in the tower are broken or fogged. Changed those. Did a bunch of work on the house. I did a patio door like repair and work, new lock and stuff, new rollers. I did the screens on the cafe, adjusted a bunch of stuff on the windows and doors in the cafe. Did a garage door opener on one of their garages and a couple other things. I forget what. I think I did some of the south bathrooms and stuff. And he gave me this sports racer that didn't work. It was a Lotus 7 style chassis built by Fraser in New Zealand. Who, if you look them up, they build like perfect Lotus 7, like replicas, like amazing ones. Usually with Toyota 3S GTE or 4AG power plants. They've built one race car ever, and it's this one. And it's like basically looks like kind of a spec racer Ford had sex with a radical, and a Lotus 7 like might have been part of it. Like it's a really weird look. It's a cool looking car from like a bunch of angles, but it's a front engine rear driver. And you like my back is right up against the wheel well, basically, and it's a right-hand drive. And I had put – it had a 4AG Formula Atlantic motor in it when I bought
which
it.
You immediately grenaded.
I took it to a one Blackhawk day. It, like, ran good. Took it to one Blackhawk day, and it turns out one cylinder was running lean. And it literally exploded the piston. And then I parted the engine. I had a dry sump. It had everything. The engine, like, originally must have cost – even back in 94 when it was built, it must have cost like $20,000. Forge crank, forge rods, pistons, dry sump, because those things weren't forge crank from the factory. So it was like a forge stroker crank from the jump. Dry sump, like Weber DCOE, 48 mils. Like it was probably making like 220, 230 wheel. And a TRD 5-speed Toyota T50 trans. So it was like a close ratio, hard to find 5-speed. I sold that for a couple $1,000. I parted the whole drivetrain out. Like somebody came from Kansas City to buy the dry sump, the crank, and then I gave them the rods and pistons and the block and all that stuff. And somebody else bought the head because it was a small port head, which I guess in 4AG AE86 world is like hot shit. Somebody else bought the intake manifold, which was custom, and the Weber DCOE carburetors. Just sold it all, right? And then I bought a Yamaha 5VY, 5-valve R1 motor, so like 1,000cc superbike motor. Used a Hawk drivetrain adapter that basically slides onto the... You turn the engine sideways, and the chain sprocket, you slide a driveshaft adapter on, and then you have a driveshaft made. So you only have, you know, the forward gears. You don't have any
What's going on, man?
Hey, Rob, what's up? You don't have any reverse or anything. You only got the forward gears. And I got it running, factory wiring, factory ECU and everything. It ran great. And I took it to a Honda meet in 19, 18? I don't remember.
And you oiled down.
And the oil cooler line properly broke off. And I oiled down between turn 2 and 3. And then all of a sudden I had a little bit of a knock because the rod bearing had loosened up just enough that the piston was touching the head. And I got frustrated with my life, and then I sold the thing cheap to a dude in Austin, Texas, who recently had a baby. After he had fixed it up, new motor, built a really much nicer roll cage for it, because the roll cage was sketch, super sketch. And had a baby, and his wife and him used to autocross it. And he's like, hey, man, nobody seems to want this thing. You want to buy it? And I was like, yes. I actually had reached out to him, like, hey, if you ever want to sell it. And then, like, a week later, he's like, funny you say. And he sold it to me for what I sold it to him for. So, like,
just trading money back and forth.
I owe this guy big time. If I ever sell it, if I ever sell it and make any money, I'm going to split it with him because, like, he did so much work to it. And it's being delivered by Iowa Man.
Nice.
Yeah, it was going to be delivered by Jason Tipple until Jason Tipple's wheel fell off.
I saw that.
Yeah. So now Jason Tipple's wheel fell off his MDX. Now he's got a trailer, his MDX, on the empty trailer that he took to Solo Nationals that was going to have my car on it. And so the Iowa Man buddies, Ryan Seiler and Josh Fettis, they picked it up at Solo Nats on Monday, brought it to Dalton's house, and it's coming in the stacker. So
sick.
I got to put a seat in it, and it should be like ready to rip.
So, now, I remember the sports racer had like a roll bar kind of right at like shoulder height.
Yeah.
That was like not great.
And then it had like an extra little hoop on top of it to almost get it to height. This dude put a pretty tall one on.
Okay.
Thicker wall, better mounts. He actually cut the body. The body was like an hour-long project to pull it off. He had to unbolt the roll bar, and like do a bunch of stuff to like get the body off. And to make a shock adjustment, you had to take the body off.
That's stupid.
Like, it was, it was nuts. So he actually cut the body in three pieces.
Okay.
And made different mounts so that you can, like, quickly pull the front half off and actually work on it, or quicker, pull the back half off and work on it.
Got it.
So that's, I mean, it should be, like, a lot easier to live with. I think I'm going to wrap it. I might paint it. But I think I might do the ghetto digital camo that I have.
I feel like everything in your life has to be the tan and gray.
The ghetto digital camo.
It has to be that. Because your CRX was that, right?
Yeah. And the RV is now. And I'm thinking I'm going to do the trailer, too. Eventually.
I think you should. I think you should finish the RV first.
Yeah. I do it about an hour at a time, like twice a year. I got about another hour and a half on the RV, and it's done. Or the sides are done, at least. Front and back, those will be easier. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be weird to see the car that, like, I was sad when I sold it. Because it felt like I had, like, unfinished. I only did, like, three sessions ever with it. And it was one of the most fun things to drive.
I remember your face. There's a picture somewhere. It might even be on
Blackhawk the first time. Yeah.
The face you made when you were driving it was unlike anything that I've ever seen.
It was, so the first time I ever took it out was at Blackhawk with the Toyota motor. I only did one day. I think I did three sessions, and it blew up on the third session. And I remember the session before the last, it smelled different, and I was like, something smells weird. And then it turns out one of the cylinders had leaned out. But, man, it was so fun. It was, like, so, so good. I just put some, like, SM7 Hoosiers on it, and then I put the R1 motor in it, and it was way faster in a straight line. And it had a sequential because it's a bike motor. And so I'm stoked to like drive it again. Like, I'm kind of nervous too. Like,
yeah,
but I'm stoked about it. So, Ben Mitchell, who's been on the show recently, one of the Bad Company GLTC car buddies, he sold me a Kirky 17 inch that I'm gonna mount in it because the previous owner, the dude I bought it from, Matt Beck, he had built a frame for a Kirky seat. You have to drill the bottom of the seat, but he built an actual seat frame because it didn't even have a seat before. It had like foam panels that you sat on, and so it didn't have like really a good headrest, which is kind of sketchy.
Sure.
And he's shorter than I am, so he put a seat further forward. So I bought a Kirky. It's going to be delivered by the guys from Lane Automotive on Friday. So I'll put that in, and hopefully still fit in it. But yeah, it's going
to
be weird.
Is it your goal to get on track this weekend?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We'll see how it does, but I only did one session here, and I've still got video of me like cruising up the front straight, like shifting, chasing John Coster in his like K24 Civic, and just hitting the bike sequential, just like bang bang bang, pulling it backwards. It's so cool, like it's so good.
Sorry, my mind wanders, but I just realized that we missed our opportunity. I think we missed it now.
What's up?
Rob is here,
right?
And you, me, and Charlie are here.
Yeah.
The photo op that we wanted.
Oh, yeah, we can do rollers with the buses.
Yeah.
We might need to do it on Sunday.
I mean, I would wait for that.
But you're probably going to leave.
I mean, I want to leave, yeah. But like, if I could do that.
The problem is, like, we're all entrenched up in the camp up there.
I know, it's a mistake. I'm down here, I'm ready to go. I could unplug right now and be on track in like 2 minutes.
I could not. There's no way I can get out because we built fences around me. And Charlie's the same way.
Charlie's bus could not be more
the
cool.
Prevost. Oh, it's so cool! It's so cool. We got to do a show with him too. But what do you think? What are you excited about for this weekend?
Well, Ferris is coming, right. And If anyone has a chance to break Will's record, it's probably him.
Right. What's the overall? 24?
20, 23 something.
23 something, yeah.
23,890 maybe? Yeah. That's probably wrong. But so Ferris is coming. I think Jackie is bringing the Supra.
I can't remember.
He's been running the Tesla as well. So yeah. Track Mod is kind of in a lull at the moment. Mm-hmm. But not really, because Ferris runs both.
Right. Well, the records haven't been a lull. There hasn't been a ton of like heavy competition.
Correct.
Street Mod, hard to say. I'm really excited about Club TR. There's going to be a lot of Club TR cars.
Yeah. Actually, Street. Someone who is coming. I don't know if he won a title today or not. Robert Thorne in the Big Bad Wolf won King of the Mountain last weekend, which is awesome for him.
Yeah. Two weekends ago. Last week?
No, I think it was last weekend.
Yeah, it was. I've done a lot of things since then.
And let me see. I'm going to check in real time to see if Robert won a national championship.
Yeah, that was like 8 days ago.
So there are a number of people who are at Solo Nationals right now in Nebraska who are packing up their stuff and just coming here.
And a bunch of them were at King of the Mountain the weekend before, went home for a day, and then went to Solo Nationals.
Let's see. Robert was running XP. Oh, my. He finished third.
Oh.
Congratulations, Robert, still.
Got the trophies.
Third place is pretty good.
Yeah.
Wow. Came on real, like the other guys came on really strong right at the end.
It only takes one run. Solo's hard, man.
Yeah, dude, solo is hard.
Tomo just won with the NSX, right?
Correct.
And he was, what, P3 at King of the Mountain? He coned it away.
Coned.
Yeah.
So, like, strong showing for both of those guys.
Really fun to watch.
They're, I think, both going to be here. I assume Tom will be here.
Yeah, Tom's coming here.
But not in the NSX. He'll be driving GLTC.
He's bringing the NSX, though.
Cool.
The NSX is going to be a pace car.
Cool.
Yep. So, and then he's got to give the NSX back at the event.
Here.
Back to Acura. Yeah.
Sad.
So,
I know
seems to enjoy it.
I know that Alex,
yep.
who's been on the show a number of times, is like close to foaming at the mouth for how much he wants one.
Really?
Yeah.
I could see him showing up with one of those.
So Aaron has a customer.
Aaron Lichty?
Who has one, and rather than get it serviced at the Honda dealer,
right.
Chooses to service with Aaron instead. And so Aaron was putting a few road miles on it and showed up to work a few weeks ago I was dropping the bus off there as well.
Right. They're so cool.
They're very cool, and they're smaller, like, physically, than the pictures make them look.
Right. The problem with that car, like, the car, it should have been 75 grand cheaper, you know? But, like, when you see what it does, like, you can justify the price. But it feels like it's just in the wrong market, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so Aaron and I were talking about it.
Like, it's just a little bit outside of its market, but it can be there because it's as good as it should be. But
so
like who's it for?
Who's it for is a great question, because Aaron told me that when you spec one, they start and they compete with on price a GT3.
Right.
And they option similarly.
Right.
And at the end of the day, if they're the exact same price as a GT3,
mm-hmm.
how many people would not buy the GT3?
You don't have a lot. I mean, personally, I probably wouldn't. I mean, Acura be a car to live with versus a Porsche, but yeah, GT3 is a GT3. I mean, it's still a GT3,
and it sounds like a GT3.
Yeah, it does. The Porsche is pretty rad, though, man, and like real fast,
Yeah,
real pretty, and like you could live with it like an Accord. That's the thing.
It's true,
but yeah,
and I'm speculating, but I would say that the fact that it hasn't like sold amazingly well,
right?
Makes me feel like, you know, probably because it's such a good car,
right?
Probably in 15 or 20 years, people are going to be like, man, that was such a good car.
It'll probably be an appreciating asset.
Yeah.
Or at least a base, like the baseline is what you paid for it, and you probably get that back, you know,
probably
you get to enjoy it. They're really pretty, though. Like in real life, they're like prettier than I thought they were.
Yeah.
The first time I saw one, I was like, damn, that is a good looking car.
Yep.
The first time I saw the new Corvette, when they're lowered and stuff, they look really pretty. But the first time I saw one in a picture, I was like, man, they look so pretty. And the first time I saw one in real life, bone stock, I was like, man, those are wheel gaps. Like, they're just not that pretty in real life.
I like certain colors of the C8. Yeah. I think black looks excellent.
I think white also looks excellent. Yeah. There's this one color. I forget which one it was. The blue or green? There's one really bad color.
The sky blue?
There's something.
The one that Robbie drove for one lap.
I drove a white one, didn't I?
No, I think it was sky
blue. There's one color.
Not a fan of the sky blue.
I can't remember. I can't remember what it is, but there's one that I don't like. I saw it in person, but I forget what color it was.
So you're like, taking us back to RVs for just a second, you're kind of farther along in your RV journey in your bus than Charlie and I are.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the stuff you've figured out, but what I've noticed as it relates to country coaches is they stopped being built before everything was on the internet.
Right. Yeah, and like 2004, 2005?
I think they...
2006, something like that?
During the recession, I think it was 2008 or 2009.
Okay.
But the forums for country coach really aren't all that helpful because... Think about who was buying a country coach in 2004.
They weren't going on the internet to fix
it. They weren't going, they weren't DIYing fixes on a bus. Right. And so
that market is just coming in, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, when I go to the forums now, there's not a whole lot of useful information. And so I told Charlie, like, half an hour ago that I think that there should be a spot on TrackTune that we just kind of, like, write about fixing our buses. Because
it's not the worst idea.
Like, why wouldn't that be a good spot for it? Yeah. Because, well, they're TrackTuned.
It's not the worst idea, and you're taking over the racetrack. But
so
you found a dude that, like, knows everything about everything, though.
Yeah. So
you told me this yesterday.
Yeah. So the story is, on the internet, on the forums, a guy's name is plastered all over the place.
Right.
His cell phone number and his email, and it's like,
just call Jim.
Just call Kevin.
Kevin. Yeah.
And Kevin is based in Oregon, but the story, as I'm told from the internet, is Kevin used to work at the factory and now makes a decent part of his living selling service contracts of sort and parts for your bus.
Right.
So the service contract is basically $350 a year,
right,
and he'll spend as much time on the phone with you consulting about whatever as you need.
Right.
Yesterday, I spent $1,500 or so on shocks.
On parts?
And on ride height valves.
Right.
And on new sway bar brackets and bushings.
Yeah, because one of your sway bar brackets broke off.
Correct. Probably because the ride height was too low and the shocks were dead.
Yeah.
That's a system that's failing.
They're all connected,
in concert.
Yeah. Yeah.
So those should hopefully be here in about a week or so.
Yep.
And
you got it from him. Like he knew about it
and
sold you the parts.
Correct.
Cool.
And so what he told me about the shocks is that these are upgraded.
Right.
And most of the time they drop in.
Right.
If they don't, you just have to clearance a little.
Yeah. Just open it up. Get that flap wheel out.
Just
dude.
Make it. Cool. So I'm probably going to do that. If the timing works out, I'll probably just do it at the Winning Formula on a Saturday.
Right.
And if it doesn't work out, it's going to, I wanted to do some just general maintenance at Cummins before Road America.
Right.
And the timing on that's been pretty good because on the drive up here, we've done now like 2,000 miles or so, maybe more than that even, probably 2,500 miles.
Right.
And things have mostly been trouble-free. There's a code on the engine computer for a fan clutch.
Mm-hmm.
So the radiator fan fails to on.
Okay.
And if the fan clutch fails, the radiator's just on, and you pay a mile per gallon hit for that because it's just more work.
Yeah.
So I'm getting a code for a fan clutch, and I have had a code for coolant level.
Right.
And you go back in the back and you look through the sight glass, and it's like, well, it's green. There's definitely coolant.
Probably just a corrosion on that sensor or something.
Could be.
Yeah.
And then yesterday on the way up here, I drove from Indianapolis. Or not, from Louisville to my dad's house, which is in northern Indiana near South Bend,
mm-hmm.
The night before, stayed overnight. And then yesterday I drove up here, which is, 90 miles or so.
Right.
And I got into Michigan, kind of near Red Arrow Highway, like just across the line.
Yeah.
And massive alarm, like 6 codes, like alarm on the bus, stop bus.
Really?
And like a beeping alarm to go with it.
Holy shit.
And it said that the bus didn't have coolant, like loss of coolant. And I was like, well, that's weird. I I'm thinking about, okay, now I got to call a tow truck and AAA and do all that stuff.
Over.
And I pulled over and I looked at the codes and I was like, I don't know, man. And the bus was still running and I looked at the temps and the temps were fine. So I turned the bus off and I started it back up.
That's fine.
I cleared the codes on the computer and I drove away.
Does it have like an option to clear it?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
The thing you see that looks kind of like a radio.
Yeah.
That's a trip computer and like OBD like kind of thing, kind of scanner. Yeah. It's all just built in,
cool.
And it does everything. And I think a cool thing about it is it measures your fuel economy, which I'm a nerd about. And right. Like when you
how accurate does it seem?
Pretty accurate.
Okay.
And apparently it monitors the rate of fuel usage for the gen as well, because yesterday I was in my dad's driveway running the gen.
Mm-hmm.
And when I parked it, it was 7.5 miles per gallon on the trip. And right. When I started it up to drive away, it was 7.2.
Because you hadn't gone any miles, but you'd use some fuel.
Yep.
Makes sense.
And like when only the gen is running, that computer will tell you stats about the gen as well.
You figured out this is a Cummins, right?
Yeah, 8.9.
I think,
oh my goodness, it's Bill Griffin and
Bill
Andrew Raines. I think we're going to have to end this show and start another one.
All right, fine.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, man.
Slip Angle was created by Austin Cabot and Adam Jabe, co-hosted by Derek Yarbrough and production by Abram Schmucker, who mixes all of our terrible audio. If you like the show, please rate us and review us on iTunes and come and find us in the pits at a grid live to say hello.